I want you to open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 2. 1 Kings, chapter 2, for the message today. And I want to take the message from a little part of this second chapter. We're going to kind of survey at the beginning of the message what is transpiring here. In the first and second chapters, there are several things happening, and I'll explain that to you. And then we'll get to the point that I want to make this morning. If you will, please, let's begin reading in verse 12. In verse 12, 1 Kings chapter 2 in your Old Testament. 1 Kings chapter 2, beginning in verse 12. The Bible says, "Then sat Solomon upon the throne of David his father, and his kingdom was established greatly. And Adonijah, the son of Haggith, came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon. And she said, 'Comest thou peaceably?' And he said, 'Peaceably.'" Now, I need to stop right there and explain to you that what we find in this first and second chapter is the very popular king, David, growing old and dying. He is well established and he is now old, and it is the time of his death. Now, you got to realize that David was married many times. David had many children by his wives. And so when it came time for David to die, there was a real power struggle in the family. Everybody was trying to grab the throne, and they were claiming right of access to the throne. And, of course, you know, the Bible tells us that God spoke to David's heart and told David that he was to anoint Solomon to be the king. This is not just a haphazard. There is the will of God in this matter, and it was God's will that Solomon carry on the throne of David. And so what you have in chapter 1 and chapter 2 is a real fight and power struggle for the sons of David, Solomon's half-brothers, to take control of the throne. And so it's when it says here in verse 13 that Adonijah, who was one of David's sons by a different wife than Bathsheba, a lady by the name of Haggith, all of a sudden here comes her firstborn son, Adonijah, and wants to meet with her. And so she says, "Do you come peaceably?" Well, what that meant was, you're not here to kill me so that you can then kill my son Solomon so that then you can take the throne. That's not your purpose for coming, is it? Do you come peaceably? And he said, yes. All right, so he came peaceably. But understand, and as I read it, understand that he comes peaceably, but he comes with a scheme. He's got a plan. He's up to something here. And so let's read it now and see what it is. In verse 14, he said, "Moreover, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And she said, "Say on." And he said, "Thou knowest." Now listen very carefully to the way he words this. He has a scheme. He has a plan. And he said, "Thou knowest that the kingdom was mine, and that all Israel set their faces on me, that I should reign. Howbeit, the kingdom is turned about, and it is become my brother's, for it was his from the Lord." All right, so he got spiritual. You see, he threw the spiritual in there, you know. Everybody knew that I was going to be the king. Everybody knew, all Israel knew that I should be the king. But, you know, the Lord's just not in it. Well, he didn't give two hoots about the Lord being in it. He's up to something here. But he throws the spiritual in there. Look at verse 16. He says, "And now I ask one petition of thee, deny me not." And she said unto him, "Say on." And he said, "Speak, I pray thee, unto Solomon the king, for he will not say thee nay, that he give me Abishag the Shunammite to wife." All right, now, what is this? Well, if you go back into chapter 1, you will see that when David was dying, he had a very high fever, and you know that when you get a fever, you get the chills. Now you got to remember, this is Old Testament time. You can't run to the hospital and get an IV or take Tylenol or whatever the case may be to try and knock your fever down. And so they just thought they'll bring this young, beautiful gal in, and she can become one of David's concubines, and she will keep David warm. That was the theory. That was the thinking behind it. And so what Adonijah is asking here, he is asking Bathsheba to go to Solomon and ask Solomon, because you're his mother. He won't tell you no, so you go ask him if I can have Abishag to be my wife. All right, now you say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, what's wrong with it is the fact that that what was David's now would become Solomon's. It would be by right of access that the new king would have everything that belonged to the old king. And so here is one of the concubines. Here is Abishag. And so he goes in and gets Bathsheba to go and beg Solomon to give Adonijah the concubine. And so then Solomon had agreed, then he could have gone to the elders and he would have had a legitimate legal ground to stake claim to the throne, because he would have had that which belonged to his father, to David. Now, Bathsheba fell for this. Solomon did not fall for it. And we'll see that as we read on. Look, please, now. Everybody understand that? All right, that's what's going on here. Now, look at this in verse 18. Bathsheba said, well, I will speak for thee unto the king. Verse 19. Bathsheba, therefore, went unto King Solomon to speak unto him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her and bowed himself unto her and sat down on his throne and caused a seat to be set for the king's mother. And she sat on his right hand. Then she said, I desire one small petition of thee. I pray thee, say me not nay. In other words, don't tell me no. And the king said unto her, ask on, my mother, for I will not say no, or I will not say thee nay. And she said, let Abishag the Shunammite be given to Adonijah thy brother to wife. And King Solomon answered and said unto his mother, and why dost thou ask Abishag the Shunammite for Adonijah? Ask for him the kingdom also. All right, you see that? I mean, Bathsheba didn't get it. She didn't understand what Adonijah was up to. But Solomon, being a very intelligent man, wisest man in the world, we are told, he saw through what Adonijah was trying to pull. And so he said to his mother, well, then why don't I just give him the kingdom also? Because that would be the equivalent of giving him the kingdom, had he given Abishag to be his wife, for she had previously belonged to King David. All right, so he said, for he is mine elder brother, even for him and for Abiathar the priest and Joab the son of Zeruiah. Then King Solomon swear by the Lord, saying, God do so to me, and more also if Adonijah have not spoken this word against his own life. Now, therefore, as the Lord liveth, which hath established me and set me on the throne of David my father, and who hath made me an house as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death on this day. And King Solomon sent by the hand of Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and he fell upon him and he died. Now, there are all kinds of directions and applications that you can take from this passage of Scripture. One thing we ought to see clearly from this passage of Scripture is that you didn't mess with these people. you understand? I mean, you just didn't mess with them. And Adonijah learned that lesson. Of course, he learned it the hard way. But I want to speak to you primarily out of verse 19. And I want speak to you on the subject of honoring mother. I want you to notice here that when Bathsheba came in, Solomon honored his mother in a tremendous way. When she walked into the room, the king rose up. In other words, he stood to his feet. Now remember, this is the king of Israel. This is the mighty King Solomon. But yet when Mama walked into the room, King Solomon stood to his feet and he met her and he bowed himself unto her. Let me tell you something, folks. The king of Israel did not bow to anybody. He was the king. Everybody else bowed to him. But when his mother walked into the room, when Mom came in the door, King Solomon stood to his feet and he met her and he got on his knees and bowed before her. And then it says, and sat on his throne and caused a seat to be set for the king's mother, and she sat on his right hand. He then sat down on the throne after he bowed before her and called for a second throne to be brought into the throne room. He then escorted his mother to that throne and had her take a seat at his right hand. He honored his mother in a major, major way. I want to speak to you on honoring mother today. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God. And I pray that you will bless, and I pray that you will help us to see the point here this morning. Lord, we thank you for this day that we've set aside to honor our mothers. And Lord, some of us have our mothers here, some of us do not. But yet, Lord, we can still honor mother, whether she's here or whether she's not. Lord, we never lose mother's influence. We never lose the memories that mother instills within our hearts. And so, Father, I pray that you will bless this morning and stir our souls this morning and help us, Lord, to see the point and make the application to each and every individual heart. We'll thank you. We'll praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I think it's important that we get the whole story here so that we can piece this thing together properly. David had a bunch of wives, and from each wife he had several children. When he was an old man and dying, they, in the first chapter of this book of 1 Kings, brought a beautiful young maiden in. Her name was Abishag, and they gave her as one of David's concubines. The idea here was to keep him from chilling with the fever that was slowly killing him. Nevertheless, David, as with all men, eventually passed away. Now, before David died, he appointed Solomon to be the king in his stead. But that did not keep all of the other sons of David, through his many other wives, from scheming and planning and doing all they could to steal away the throne for themselves and to keep Solomon from sitting upon the throne of David. Now, that was that is basically what this story is all about. It is a couple of chapters that are just filled with bitterness and murder and deceit and scheming and lying. I mean, you name it, it went on as each one of the sons of David began to jockey for David's throne. Now, you remember Bathsheba. Bathsheba was the woman that King David, at the time when the kings were supposed to be out in battle, and David was living such a blessed and comfortable life, he didn't go. He didn't go out when it was time, but instead stayed in Jerusalem. And so when he was not doing what he was supposed to be doing, he looked off of his balcony one night and saw this young woman named Bathsheba on her rooftop taking a bath. All right, now, you think there'd be problems with that. What's she doing up on the rooftop taking a bath if she doesn't want to be seen? I think she had something in her heart as well. But nonetheless, David committed adultery. A child was conceived. David then had to lie and deceive and murder, and Uriah was executed so that he could bring Bathsheba into the palace. Well, as sad as all this story is, ironically, Bathsheba turned out to be probably the best of all of the women that David married. Another of David's wives was a lady by the name of Haggith, and she had a son whose name was Adonijah. Adonijah was a very strong man, a very able, very capable leader. And of course, when David drew near to death, Adonijah wanted to be the king in the land. Once David died, Adonijah schemed, you can read about him in the first chapter of 1 Kings, started the scheming and the planning in order to take the throne. When everything failed, he decided to go and see Solomon's mother, Bathsheba, and get Bathsheba to present to Solomon this plan to give Abishag to be his wife. And of course, this was all a scheme on Adonijah's part. If he had David's concubine, it would have given him clout with the elders, and it would have given him claim to the throne of David. And of course, Solomon was not about to let that happen. He was too wise to fall for the scheme, and so he had Adonijah executed so as to cut off the threat. Now that leads us to the text verse that I want to call to your attention this morning. It's found in the 19th verse. When Bathsheba came to see her son Solomon, he honored her in an amazing way. He stood to his feet. He ordered a second throne to be brought in and set on his right hand, the place, the position of authority. And he honored her by having her sit in that place of honor and authority. He is basically saying here, my mother is worthy. She is an honorable woman. She is a blessed woman. And I want to honor her by having her share my throne. Now, folks, let's think about honoring mother this morning. Did you honor your mother this morning? Did you honor her with a phone call or with a gift or with a card or some flowers? You certainly should do these things to honor mom on this special day. And if anybody deserves to be honored, it is mother. I mean, my goodness, she's the one that brought you into this world, and she's the one that took care of you when you could not or would not take care of yourself. And so mother deserves to be honored. But you know, what Solomon did here, as wonderful as it was really only a small token way to honor his mother. I want to speak to you today about how to best honor your mother. You know, Mother's Day is important. It's not a biblical holiday. You're not going to find Mother's Day celebrated or mentioned in the Bible. You're not going to find in the law in Exodus or Leviticus or Numbers or Deuteronomy. You're not going to find Mother's Day as one of the Jewish holidays. It is a public holiday. It is a national holiday. But I think that having a Mother's Day is an honorable thing. I think that we ought to honor our mothers, but I'm a little concerned that we have the thinking, or we kind of get the mindset, that Mother's Day is what that is for. Brethren, listen, we ought to honor mother every day of our lives. I mean, we ought to honor mother every day of our lives. And the best way to honor your mother is to do so by giving your life in service for the Lord. The best way you can honor your mother and all that she has done for you and all that God has used her to do in your life, the best way for you to do that is to honor her every day of your life by you living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Solomon gave his mother a seat of honor, but he did not give God a seat of honor in his life. Solomon lived his life in honor of his own lustful passions and thus dishonored his mother in a dreadful fashion. Folks, if you want to honor mom, just live for the Lord. That will bring more honor upon your mother in the eyes of the world than anything else if you will just live for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to take a day and honor mother, but don't you think you ought to honor her every day? And as you are living for the Lord, you will find that you will do just that. Now, I want you to think for just a moment about an individual who was here who honored the Lord honored his mother probably more than anybody else, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, every time you turn in the Gospels and you see Mary, the mother of Christ, coming into the picture or coming into the story, you will find that he is always honoring his mother. At every step, at every turn. You never find a place where Jesus was rude to her or where he mistreated her. But in every place where she is mentioned, there is always the Lord honoring her, giving her mention, giving her love, giving her concern, and taking care of her. I mean, even when he was being crucified on Calvary's cross, the first thing he did was look at John and tell John to take care of his mother after he was gone. He made sure that everybody out there heard what he had to say when he looked at John and said, "Behold thy mother, and behold thy son." And the idea is that right even at the end of his life, he was honoring and taking care of his mother. And so I want us to think about the life of our blessed Lord today, and let me show you how to honor your mother and how to make her the proudest woman in the world, the most honored woman alive. Let's think about how did the Lord Jesus honor his mother. And as we think of that, we can apply it and we can make sure that our mother is honored. I want to say, first of all, that we honor her by doing the will of God. You know, it's interesting. The Lord Jesus was just engrossed with doing the will of God. It is mentioned over and over in Scripture. He made mention of the fact that his one purpose was to do the will of his Father who sent him. You want to be honoring to your mother? Then find the will of God and do it. I mean, just find the will of God for your life and do it. Folks, I want you to understand that God has a will for your life. You say, "You mean God has a will for me?" Yes, he does. You say, "Well, Pastor, I'm not even sure that I'm saved. I don't even know that I've been born again. I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven." You mean God has a will for me? I don't even profess to be a Christian. My dear friend, yes, God has a will for you. Here it is. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's will for you, first of all, is that you know for sure that you're saved and on your way to heaven. God wants you to be saved. It is God's will for you to be saved. So if you're here today and you're not sure you're saved, I want you to know it's God's will that you be saved. I've heard folks say, pray, and they ask the Lord. They say, "Lord, if it be your will, save so-and-so." That's not a scriptural prayer. God is not willing that any should perish. It's God's will that every person be saved. And so we ought to pray, "Lord, let your will be done and save so-and-so." But we honor mother by finding the will of God and doing it. And folks, that's exactly what the Lord Jesus did. When he was here for that 33 and a half years, he made sure that he did the will of his Father. God sent him here to do something, and he made sure he did it. And in doing the will of God, his mother was an honored mother. They saw him performing miracles one day. And this woman spoke up and she said, "Oh my, your mother must be blessed. Your mother must be blessed." It's only natural to think that. It's only natural to think that when someone is doing the will of God, that mother would be blessed in her sons doing the will of God. Hey ladies, do you remember when you first found out you were going to have your first baby? You remember that? You remember when the doctor told you, "Yep, you're pregnant." And so you went home and you kind of had this look about you, you know, you knew something and you were just dying to tell it, but you really weren't you really going to just kind of lead up to it there. And so you said to your husband, "You know, I'm not feeling very well today." And he said, "Well, what's the matter?" And you said, "Well, I'm just not feeling well." I said, "Well, do you have the flu?" And so she looked over and said, "Well, I do. I got the 9-month flu." Now, it took a little bit for him to figure it out, but he finally figured it out. And over the next 9 months, boy, did life all of a sudden change. You remember that? I mean, everything just was different than it had been before. And you found over time you couldn't sit, you couldn't stand, you couldn't lay down. I mean, there was just no way to get comfortable. You found that your clothes didn't fit on the front side or on the back side or on any side. You found that no matter what you ate, it just wasn't right. You wanted something else. And you walked around for a few months wearing those eternity dresses. You remember that? But then that day finally came. And you went to the hospital and you entered into the jaws of death and you endured a pain and a travail like you had never experienced before. But folks, listen, I want you to think about this for a minute. You are that baby for whom some mother travailed. You are that baby for whom some mother travailed. And I want to serve notice on you this morning that there was a reason you were born. There was a purpose for which you were brought into this world. Now, you can sit here this morning and ask yourself the question, how can I honor my mother? And I say to you that you honor her by doing the will of God and fulfilling the purpose for which you came into this world. Every person here, you were birthed into this world to do something. What is it that you're supposed to do? Folks, I'll be honest with you. I don't know what you're supposed to do. I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to be the pastor of the Church of the Open Door. I'm supposed to be the father to my children. I'm to be the grandfather to my grandchildren. I'm to be the husband to my wife. I mean, I know what God wants me to do. I'm to read my Bible, and I'm to tell folks about Jesus. I'm supposed to walk with God. I know that's what my responsibility, that's God's will for me. But wait a minute, God has a will for you as well. And my question is, are you in the will of God? And if you're in the will of God, you're going to honor your mother as you live for God. You know, Mary learned when visited by the archangel, and it was announced to her that she was going to have a child, she learned what was God's will for the Lord Jesus. How could she ever forget that? How could she ever forget when that angel visited her? And yet, do you remember, 12 years later, after Christ was born, when he was 12 years of age, they were all in Jerusalem, and they were going back to Nazareth, and they thought that Jesus was in the caravan that was going back to Nazareth, but he wasn't there. And so they got a day's journey up the road, and they looked around at nightfall, and they said, "Where's Jesus?" And they said, "Well, I thought you had him." You know, typical argument between mom and dad. "I thought you were watching him." She said, "No, I thought you had him." And so they looked everywhere. They couldn't find him. So they had to make another day's journey back. And on the third day, they found him sitting in the temple questioning the doctors and the lawyers. He's 12 years old. Mercy. And so mom and dad were a little upset when they saw him. And they pulled him to the side and they rebuked him and they said, "You know, you scared us to death. What do you think you're doing?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "Wist ye not," which means, "do you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" Folks, Jesus was concerned only about one thing, and that's doing the will of God. Because he knew that in doing the will of God, he would accomplish the purpose for which he was sent to this world. And my dear friend, I'm simply saying to you that God has a purpose for you. God has something he wants you to do for him. And you want to honor your mother? Get in the will of God and find that purpose. And you will honor your mother. For you to do God's will is the greatest way for you to bring honor to your mom. Can you imagine how proud Mary must have been and must have felt on that first Easter Sunday after her son, the Lord Jesus, resurrected from the grave? Listen, my friend, you can set your mom on your right hand today. You can buy her flowers. You can send her a sweet card. You can give her a lunch this afternoon. You can call her on the phone if she's a distance away, and you can tell her how much you love her. And all these things are good for one day out of the year, but they all pale into oblivion when you think about that she gave birth to you for a purpose. Just do the will of God. Find the will of God for your life and do it. What is that purpose? What is that purpose that for which you were born? What is that purpose? Well, find it, dear friend. Find it and then do it. And there's no better way for you to honor your mother than for you to do the will of God for your life. Just after I graduated from college, all the plans came together for what Karen and I were going to do with our lives. I graduated from college in Greenville, South Carolina. And I remember calling my mother after everything came together. And I called her and I said, "Mom," I said, "it all came together. Here's what we're doing." And she said, "I'm listening. What are you doing?" And I had an opportunity an option to go back to my home area, and had an option to be around my mom and my dad. Had the option. I could have done that, but I was offered a job in a church as the youth pastor. And I kind of felt that that's what the Lord wanted us to do. And so I told her, I said, "We'll be home for a couple of weeks, and then we'll have the wedding, and then we'll come back from the honeymoon and be home 3 or 4 days, and then I'm going to take the youth pastor's job down in South Carolina." And it got real quiet on the other end of the phone. I mean, real quiet on the other end of the phone. And I said, "Mom, are you there?" And I heard her gather her strength. And here's what she said. She said with a crack in her voice, she said, "Well, honey, you do God's will. And wherever God's will takes you, and whatever God's will leads you to do, I will be happy." And I remember feeling in my heart the grief that was in her heart because her son and his new wife would not be coming home. I can remember hearing that inner voice. But she said to me, "You do God's will, and wherever it takes you, and whatever it leads you to do, I'll be happy." And you know, she was. Karen and I were married on August the 13th, 1977. And my mother graduated on to glory on April the 10th. You know what today is? Today is April the 10th. Huh? Or May. Sorry. I know what I was thinking. I was thinking a year and a month ago. And I miss her. I miss her. I mean, I miss her. My mother, bless her heart, she never got to see those 20 men lay their hands on my head and ordain me into the ministry. She never got to see my first installation service where all the deacons gathered around and prayed for God to bless their new pastor. She never got to see the church, the open door. I tell you, I wish she could have got to see all this stuff. But you know, in 32 years, my mother is still honored because I found the will of God for my life, and for 32 years I've stayed at it. And folks, I'm just wanting you to see the point here. You're sitting beside Mom right now, and you're so proud that Mom is there. Mom is so proud that she's sitting beside of you. All that's wonderful, but dear friend, listen, there is absolutely nothing that can take the place of you in God's will for your life and the honor that brings to Mom. There's nothing that can take the place of it. And I just hope that every person sitting here today will realize, wait a minute, I have a purpose. I have something for which God brought me into this world. My mother gave birth to me and brought me into this world for a purpose. Yes, dear friend, find that purpose, get in it, and God will bring honor to your mother in so doing. I have never one time ever stopped to think that my mom would not be honored if she were still here. And she is, her memory is honored because of 32 years of standing behind pulpits and preaching. I can't tell you how proud my mother would be to see Shelton Smith introduce me at a National Shore Conference. She would just rise right up out of her seat, I'm pretty sure. I'm sure she would just come right out of that seat. She would be honored. She'd probably elbow the person sat beside her and say, "That's my boy. We never thought he'd amount to a hill of beans. Look at him." She would do that. She never got to see Joshua's ordination into the ministry. If my mother was still living today and she came to the church, the open door, she would sit right there. You know why she would sit right there? Because she'd have a clear vision of me and a clear vision of Joshua sitting in that chair over there. And she'd spend most of her time staring at him, I'll guarantee it. You want to honor your mother? Live for God. Just serve the Lord, and you will bring honor to your mother. I'll tell you this, and I'll close. Several years ago, just before, actually it was just a couple of months before my mother passed away. We were in Langley, South Carolina. And the phone rang one morning early. And I ran to the phone and I got it. It was Mom. I knew it was. She always called before she went to work. And I ran in, I grabbed the phone. And she said, we started talking. We were just enjoying it so much. And then she said, "I had an interesting thing happen to me last night." And I said, "What?" She said, "Do you know so-and-so?" And I said, "Sure, I remember them." She said, "You know, she has 5 kids." I said, "Yeah." She said, "All 5 of them are just breaking her heart." And I said, "Oh, that's sad. I'm sorry about that." She said, I said, "Well, what'd she call you for?" Mom said, "Well, that's a strange thing." She said, she asked me, "What did I do in order that 2 of her sons went into the ministry? What did I do?" And she started laughing. She said, "I thought about it, and I thought about all the whoopings I gave you." I said, "Yeah, I got a few of those." And I said, "Mom, what comes to my mind is you by the bedside praying. What comes to my mind is you sitting at the dinner table reading the Bible to us and instructing us in the Word of God. What comes to my mind is you doing the dishes, singing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound." You see, Mom, it was a lifetime. It was not one little thing you did. It was a whole accumulation of a lot of things you did that speaks to my heart. And all of that effort was not in vain. All of that effort was not thrown down the tubes. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart. You want to honor your mother today, dear friend? The way you do it is you find the will of God, you get in that will of God, and you live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And in so doing, Mom is honored. You know, one of the saddest things in the world is when that phone call comes. One of the saddest things in the world is when that policeman knocks on the door. One of the saddest things in the world is when you have to go down to the courthouse and you have to stand there and watch your child be thrown in jail, be arrested, be fined for illegal activity, be put through a court, be put through some heartbreak. That's one of the saddest things in the world. And there's no honor to Mom when Mom has to sit there and watch as a judge condemns activity. But you know, it's a real honor for Mom when all of a sudden a life is lived and that life brings honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's honor in that. Old Solomon, bless his heart, he said, get a throne and set it right here. He got on his knees and he bowed before his mother. I'm sure Bathsheba was so proud that day. But folks, think about a few years down the road when all of a sudden Solomon's got 1,000 women living in his house. He's got 1,000 heathen women from all over the area. They bring all their false deities and all their false gods in. They bring all this garbage into the palace. And the Bible says that they stole away his heart. And in his latter days, Solomon did not honor God. I'm sure if Bathsheba lived long enough to see that, she sat with a broken heart. Oh, she was honored on this day, but on that day, she was disgraced. You want to honor your mother? You want to do it for a lifetime? Find the will of God, get in the will of God, and stay in the will of God. And your life will honor your mother. May God bless this to our hearts.